Today on the DML News Podcast, we're going to talk about the latest updates with Trump's trial, how Biden officially needs someone to help him walk. We're going to talk about the booming protests that are hitting every college campus in America, and why San Francisco truly is the worst city in this country. We have this and more, and it's all unfiltered.
Dennis Michael Lynch gives you his word, and he will never let you down. He will always fight for America.
The only one who really puts his money where his mouth is Dennis Michael Lynch.
Hey, everyone. It's Denny here and Ryan behind on the controls. So we have a very loaded up program here today. DML couldn't make it. He is back at home working on some things, taking care of Miss Mary, too, which just as an update on that. As he kind of explained in yesterday's episode, Miss Mary is dealing with some neck issues at the moment, so she will probably not be able to participate in a wine and talk this weekend, but DML will likely have some updates on that coming in later, or he may do one solo, right? Is there
he might do one solo.
Yeah, he may do one solo, so it'll be a little bit different. But there'll definitely be an update for you guys on that, hopefully later on today or sometime this weekend. And then Ryan and I will actually be filming a Ryan's Cafe come this weekend, although I believe we're going to have a premiere for the following weekend.
No, I think we're this Sunday.
We'll have a premiere this Sunday the following weekend because it'll be around Ashley's birthday. We have some little celebrations coming up with that. So that's just a little rundown. And before we begin, gummies, DML CBD gummy chews are currently under BOGO status, so buy one, get one free. Basically, as we've been doing all week with our other products, this is the leftover inventory from our site-wide BOGO that we had in March. So, you know, there's only a limited supply here. We're kind of just going in based on first come, first serve. So definitely jump on that today. I can't guarantee by the end of this weekend we'll have any more for BOGO. So let's get right into it. As many of you know, or if you don't, Trump's eighth day in this crazy hush money case trials bogusness is ongoing. He right now is stuck in Manhattan by order of Judge Merchan. And as details come out with this entire trial, which we've been reporting about throughout the podcast this week, the bogusness is just loading itself up, as in, why in the world? I mean, we've already been questioning why is there even a criminal trial for this, but it's becoming to a point of like, where's the crime? Again, it's a running theme with a lot of these trials. So here's an update through Fox News that came out this morning regarding the eighth day of this trial. Criminal defense attorney Mark Eiglarsh explained Friday that prosecutors face a difficult task of making the jury understand what the crime is for former President Trump and what he's actually accused of. Joining America's newsroom, Eiglarsh said most juries can wrap their heads around crimes like murder or rape. But in this case, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office alleges Trump falsified business records in furtherance of another crime that until the trial was not made clear. Eiglarsh says, in this particular case, you're looking at them to see whether they understand this at all. They come into this thinking, well, wait, what's the crime exactly? And why should we care? And I think that there's a problem right now with the prosecution being able to show that what was done was unlawful. New York prosecutor Joshua Steinglass on Tuesday said the other crime was a violation of a New York law called conspiracy to promote or prevent election. Prosecutors questioned former tabloid publisher David Pecker, unfortunate name, about a catch-and-kill scheme to have this publication purchased the rights to Karen McDougal's story about her alleged affair with Trump and then bury the story. But Pecker testified yesterday that his publication did the same thing for other celebrities, including Arnold Schwarzenegger, who we know, by the way, had a child with a nefarious affair with his housekeeper while he was married, and Rahm Emanuel, who used to be the former mayor of Chicago. Eiglarsh says, you're getting Pecker as an expert defense witness to say, for over 17 years, This was commonplace. Buying stories wasn't just because of an election. We did it all the time on behalf of Trump, but so did many other celebrities. And it doesn't mean the stories were true. It's the cost of doing business when you're a celebrity, because people are constantly looking for cash grabs, or because you might have done something a little questionable and you got to buy that out because it'll hurt your brand or it'll affect your home life, or it might even affect an election. Basically, what Iglarsh is saying here is that, again, what is the actual crime other than what countless people have done? I mean, it almost falls in the same scheme of the real estate trial, you know, where you inflate what the actual worth is, but it's actually lower than what the inflated price was. It's something that's just commonplace and done by countless people, especially in a place like New York. So here you have it, where Trump bought a story because he wanted to bury it. And Iglarsh even says a lot of the time it's bought because it's untrue, but they just don't want it pushed out there because, you know, when you read something, sometimes you just take it as is. And unless you get an update or a counterpoint, you just think that it's the truth. So I kind of see what's going on here. You got a jury that's looking at a crime that really isn't a crime, and yet Alvin Bragg is doing everything in his power to say it's a crime. So if we are dealing with a level-headed jury, they would hopefully look at everything that's presented and say, okay, there really isn't anything wrong here. Or if Merchan and Bragg and whoever else was behind the scenes in this jury selection chose a jury that's not going to think with their head straight and just say he is Trump and Trump is bad, then we're looking at a doomsday scenario here. But again, if we're looking at an impartial, rational jury, everything that's been laid out so far, there is no giant gotcha, and there's no giant, this is where he's in the wrong here. So, you know, as we all know, a lot of these cases are just witch hunts. Hopefully the jury can make a very impartial judgment. Now, while Trump is in Manhattan dealing with that, which, you know, he actually visited some workers, construction workers yesterday, and they were all cheering him on. I would love to see if maybe in this election he wins over New York. And I know Ryan doesn't have this in the lineup, but before we go into our current president and everything he's doing in his power to basically tank the economy, Ryan, I would like you to play the clip of the construction worker when he was asked about Trump and then asked about his feelings towards President Biden.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
Fuck you.
Yeah, that was just too good not to play it, mainly because I hope that video is used in a campaign ad, and I hope it is circulated from now until November and even past so, especially if somehow, by the grace of God, Biden wins, just because I think it's representative of how everyone literally feels. Now, before we get into Biden's latest issues in terms of his age, let's just talk about how he's using his administration and his network to basically tank the entire economy. We're going to start with a report out of the Daily Mail, and I'll just start reading it to you. At least 13 financial institutions, banks, are being investigated by Republicans in Congress for colluding with the federal government to spy on Americans after the January 6 protests, looking for, quote, extremism indicators. The House Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, led by top Republican Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio, is investigating collusion between U.S. banks and federal agencies in the aftermath of January 6, the Capitol riots. The Biden administration worked with banks to comb through the extremism indicators, like the purchase of a religious text such as the Bible, or searches including the terms MAGA or Trump, according to shocking revelations by the committee. Now, here are the banks listed: Bank of America, Chase, U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, Citibank, and Truist were already being targeted in the probe looking to expose how the U.S. Treasury's financial crimes enforcement network and the FBI worked together. Charles Schwab, HSBC, MUFG, PayPal, Santander, sorry, I'm not familiar with that one, Standard Chartered and Western Union have all been asked to turn over documents and communications with FinCEN and the FBI to the committee. So you would think these banks should be worried about quite literally money laundering by maybe terrorist organizations or terrorist individuals that crossed over the border, maybe worried about some of the shady business dealings of Hunter Biden. I mean, there are so many things that could be of concern, but I guess the FBI and Biden's agencies are going to be focused on if you purchased the latest version of the Bible or if you bought a Trump t-shirt or a Trump flag. Again, not only abuse of power, but what an absolute waste of resources. Shouldn't come as any shock. But let's continue here. I have a... Sorry, my computer's loading. It's a little slow today with the Wi-Fi. I have a report from Washington Examiner, and this just concludes how, or continues how Bidenomics is just disastrous for the economy, no matter how much they're telling you that it's strong. GDP grew at a rate of 1.6% in the first quarter, which is much less than expected. The economy expanded at a 1.6% seasonally adjusted annual rate in Q1 of this year, which is a big slowdown in growth that surprised investors. The new figures, which are adjusted for inflation, were published Thursday, by the Bureau of Economic Analysis in its report for GDP. Economists have expressed GDP growth to increase by 2.5%, so the reading is way worse than anticipated. Thursday's report is the first of three estimates that will be made over the coming months as analysts get a better picture of how the economy performed during the third quarter. The new first quarter numbers marks a significant slowdown. GDP growth in the fourth quarter of 2023 came in at a 3.4% seasonally adjusted annual rate. Additionally, the economy expanded a healthy 2.5% for all of 2023. So maybe the numbers are really starting to show how inflation, higher prices, lower consumer spending, especially within these last few months, exports and imports not being where they need to be, it's starting to kind of catch up with our overall GDP growth, which again should rise as a concern considering we are supposed to be one of the top first world nations when it comes to having strong GDP growth. And again, we kind of touched upon this yesterday when you have reports saying that more people are getting jobs, but then you're not really, I don't know, offering the explanation that those jobs are going to either illegal immigrants / aliens or being outsourced out of the country, or the fact that some of these are regained jobs from the COVID pandemic, or the fact that some of these people are actually getting a second or third job to kind of sustain themselves in a unattainable or unlivable situation within the country. It's really just painting a false picture, but the numbers can only lie so much. Now, you would think Biden would maybe want to try and reel in these banks from wasting their time going after people who support Trump, or maybe try to account for the fact that our GDP growth is slowing down. But instead, he wants to raise taxes on the middle class. What the actual F? Here's a quick video of a little juxtaposition between Biden and a Fox News analyst in regards to that.
By the way, that tax credit expires the next year, okay? Well, let me tell you something. It's going to say expired and dead forever if I'm elected.
Tax cut benefits. Single taxpayer making $50,000. They get an additional $1,100 a year. A family of four making $110,000. They get an additional $1,400.
Yeah, so now Biden wants to obviously kill the tax cuts that Trump was famous for actually providing Americans, which obviously by that video alone shows that it helped quite a bit. His solution, I was just talking about this with Ryan this morning. His tax hike plan might actually be that nail into the overall American economy. So I want to read something from the DML report here. That was posted this morning, and there's a poll running regarding it, and I'm sure the results are going to go a very certain way. President Biden's recent plan to raise the highest capital gains tax rate to levels not seen in over a century is drawing sharp criticism from experts who caution that such a move could severely cripple the U.S. economy. The Treasury Department, under Secretary Janet Yellen's leadership, released a report outlining the president's proposed budget for fiscal year 2025, which includes raising the top marginal rate on long-term capital gains and qualified dividends to 44.6%. I'm just going to keep reading because this is actually super freaking important that you hear this. The report details that the 44.6% rate is a result of various proposals, such as raising the top ordinary capital gains rate from 20% to 37%. These tax increases primarily affect individuals with taxable income exceeding $1 million. Americans for Tax Reform recently highlighted concerns that, when combined with higher state taxes, this proposal could lead to many Americans facing tax rates exceeding 50% on their income. The group also emphasized the potential negative impact on small business owners who may encounter a high rate when selling their businesses. Additionally, Biden's plan includes implementing a mandatory capital gains tax on transfer assets for families upon the passing of parents or guardians. Moreover, Biden's plan includes a 25% tax on unrealized capital gains held by individuals with wealth surpassing $100 million. This new tax, combined with the significant capital gains tax hike, is expected to generate almost $800 billion in additional government revenue. This proposed capital gains tax, however, would mark the highest in the past 100 years. The last time such a high rate was in effect was during the late 1970s under Democratic President Jimmy Carter, when it reached 40%, a record high back then. Typically, capital gains tax rates have stayed below 30%, even dropping as low as 13% since the 1920s. This is bad. This is bad. I mean, you're talking about a rate exceeding 50% of someone's income when you're accounting for all the different levels of tax there. I mean, Florida doesn't have a state income tax, but my gosh, if you're in like in any of the Northeast states, you're effed. How does someone read that and not recognize the fact that this is actually a blueprint to take, unless you're a multi-billionaire, everybody else and just kneecap them? You're going to have businesses go out of business. You're going to have business owners try to sell their business, and even then the tax is going to cripple them. If you're hoping to stockpile cash for your children, that's going to get taxed at an insurmountable rate. You're basically, again, it's a kneecapping of all Americans. I mean, Ryan, when you hear that, do you not just also say to yourself, this is how you absolutely demolish
cripple
the American
economy?
Yeah, the American economy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing keeping this economy going is those tax cuts from Trump, because, you know, the prices are going up every month for people. But you saw in that report, you know, $1,500 for a family of four. So if it's a 50%, if you're raising taxes on capital gains, stock market gains, that's capital, housing, anything that's a hard asset.
Yes.
What percentage was it again for the 50%?
Yeah.
Raised up?
Yeah,
that's half.
45%.
Okay, yeah, you got 50% goes to the government, 45% goes to expenses, but you're left with 5% to save
for a rainy day.
Which,
yes, yeah. So the overall would be 44.6%, but then when you're adding those state income taxes and other taxes,
New York's,
like it said, almost literally 50% of your income is now poof.
It's insane.
It's not doable.
It's not doable. Yeah, like you said, it's going to be like a domino effect, because the people that run the businesses won't be able to keep them running. And then, you know, all the employees who voted for this are going to be like, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
Look, in layman's
they're
going to
lose their jobs.
Yeah, in layman's term, right? You buy the pizza, you get 8 slices, but now this kind of tax rate.
The government takes it, 4 slices, right?
Yeah, not even. At this point, it's going to get to like 5 to 6 slices, and you're left with 2. Now, if you're an ultra billionaire like, you know, a Jeff Bezos or a Mark Zuckerberg, you're maybe losing 1 or 2 slices. But the there is no room for growth. There's no room to invest. Investment's going to die. That's for sure. There's no room for opportunity. It is going to be eradicated. And yet he is championing this as if it's going to be a saving grace. And if I'm just going to be so blatant here. If you're a dumb tard liberal, then you're going to be like, oh yeah, raise the taxes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, what job are you going to get when the business owner can't afford you because, you know, almost now more than 50% of their income is getting taken? Great. $800 billion in revenue for the government because we really need that. Yeah, it's so inadequate and inept in leadership. But at this point, I mean, I've been just unsurprised by a lot of his decisions. But this being implemented, there is no doubt in my mind at all anymore that there is a destruction plan. The illegal immigration and the crisis at the border, I mean, that is beyond treasonous in itself. I always had the mindset that he's just doing that to try and win those votes. But now you're talking about literally demolishing what has built America.
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of tax cut that starts taking out the big guys. You know, like totally. Home Depot, Starbucks, those companies are going to, I mean, I guess they always get tax breaks because, you know, they got the lobbyists in D.C. But if that wasn't the case, that's something that would start taking out those too big to fail companies, I think.
Look, and if maybe this needs to be like the biggest call to action here. There are a lot of reasons you can go to your Democrat friend if you have them or family member and show them, look what he's doing with the border. Look what he's doing by promoting this crazy trans ideology BS. Look what he's doing with basically allowing the protests to continue on, which we have plenty of that later on. But you better show them that, because you're talking about too that the money you might be storing away for your kid is now going to be such substantially taxed to a point where you're like, what did I just save up for? You got to realize that a vote for Joe Biden is now a literal vote to say, let's just kill any investment or any savings that we've accomplished. And if your Democrat friend can't see that, then might as well poke the eyes out, because that's just blindness or maybe just ignorance at this point.
I mean, who do you think wants those tax cuts? Our enemies.
For sure.
Yep.
Might as well just put the for sale sign for China and just have them come
Biden's
right
the compromised, front. Obviously. We all know that. So it makes sense.
And you know what? This is where we're going to segue. Not only is he compromised, but I would bet all the money, which at this point won't be in much in a few years' time if this goes through, he's not making these decisions. You want to know why? Because the man can't even walk. We know he can't talk. He's either reading from the teleprompter or he's... Even that video we just played, it's just the mumbles. But now, this is just icing on the cake. President Biden has introduced a change to his White House departure and return routine. Instead of walking across the South Lawn, and Ryan's going to play some B-roll here of juxtapose of a before and after. Instead of walking across the South Lawn to and from Marine One by himself, he's now often surrounded by aides. Not Secret Service, aides, sisters. Why this matters. With aides walking between Biden and journalist's camera position outside the White House, the visual effect is to draw less attention to the 81-year-old's halting and stiff gait. Some Biden advisors have told Axios they're concerned that videos of Biden walking and shuffling alone, especially across the grass, have highlighted his age. So this man quite literally cannot even walk by himself now. I mean, we've seen the shuffle, we've seen the gait, but now he needs aides by his side. I mean, come on. We don't even have grandpa in office. We got great grandpa. What's going to happen next? Like, and this is not me poking fun of those who need actual wheelchairs, because my gosh, I have respect for everyone in the world who lives up to that age. But when you got a man who is one step removed from that, making decisions that are going to affect 300 million, although now with all the illegals, plus people in this country, it's, I don't even know what to say. In fact, we have a very funny video here that Ryan's going to play for you guys. It's him. It's just Biden walking, chilling at the beach, doing everything that just is so antithetical to a leadership position. And let's just say Trump gives a little voiceover to it, too. Ryan's going to play that for you.
Lift his feet out of the grass. You know, it's only 2 inches at the White House, right? It's not a lot. But you watch him, and it looks like he's walking on toothpicks. So, and then you see him on the beach where he can't lift a chair. You know, those chairs are meant to be light, right? They're like 2 ounces.
Yeah.
You lift them up. He can't lift the chair. He can't walk to the chair. And I don't know what they're doing with the beach. You know, this beach is seeming to play a big role, but they love pictures of him on the beach. I think he looks terrible on the beach. He looks terrible on the beach.
Skinny legs.
Well, he can't walk through the sand. You know, sand is not that easy to walk through. But when he walks through it, he can't walk through the sand. And there's somebody in there that thinks he looks fabulous at the beach. I think he looks horrible at the beach. Plus, the beach doesn't represent what a president's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be working.
That was from Trump's interview with Tucker a while back, Tucker Carlson. And it's just so true. You know, I remember when he was president, meaning Trump, people would give him crap for golfing. But you know what? Let the man golf. It's exercise. It's kind of nice having a president that's got a really freaking great backswing and can finish an 18 holes in one round instead of this demented corpse that can barely walk through the lawn and then basically roasts and rots as a like a corpse at Delaware Beach. Just, you know, and you watch that video, he can't lift a chair. You see that video of him at Wawa, he can't close a box. And we're led to believe this man is the one making day-to-day critical decisions. Just bogus. We know it's a famous quote. I can't remember who said it, but, you know, the president is the one who controls the teleprompter. That's all I'm going to leave with that. And honestly, I can't talk about Uncle Joe or Grandpa Joe anymore without getting annoyed. So let's talk about something else that is basically deteriorating, which is San Francisco. Now, I did this report yesterday. It's actually about a girl that just went missing, the daughter of two billionaire tech moguls. So I'll give the report. It's from the DML report. You would see it on the DML news app. The daughter of billionaire Slack co-founder Stuart Butterfield was reported missing on Monday in California when her mother contacted authorities. 16-year-old Mint Butterfield was last seen on Sunday evening in Bolinas, and her mother, Flickr founder Katarina Fake, reported her missing the following day. Officials with the Marin County Sheriff's Office said that before the teenager's disappearance, she had been living with her mother and was enrolled at a private boarding school in Napa. The adolescent is thought to have visited San Francisco's Tenderloin District, a section recently under scrutiny as residents filed a lawsuit against the city over issues like illicit drug activity, violence, and homelessness. Now, the sheriff released a description of the daughter, and we'll throw up a picture of her so you guys can see. And as you'll see if you're watching, and if not, I'll describe it to you. It's very clear that she is likely a liberal. You know, she's got piercings, she's got dyed hair. Even in the sheriff's description, he's using the word there instead of she, so probably does the whole non-binary thing. Now, obviously, I would probably not agree with her on anything regarding issues in politics, but it, you know, it's sad that someone who's a 16-year-old is missing and can't be found. And they even said she's got a history of drug abuse. But, you know, and I hope she is found and I hope she's safe. But if she's in the Tenderloin District, that's not good. As we know with San Francisco, it is an absolute mess there. In fact, Ryan is going to play just a quick video here of just downtown San Francisco over by Market Street. And it just kind of shows just how far this city continues to fall. Yeah, so if you were just listening and not watching, I mean, it's, you know, druggies on the street, just litter everywhere. It's just a overall just broken state. And of course, you know, people are getting robbed, including politicians. Representative Adam Schiff, we all know him. He's the one who pushed the Trump-Russia hoax forever, even when it was proven wrong. He was just robbed in San Francisco, and it actually forced him to show up to a meeting with no suit. And we actually played this yesterday. San Jose's mayor, Matt Mahan, he was attacked live on television. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass, she was just robbed. I mean, it's not even just San Francisco. It's just all of California at this point. I don't know why anyone would live there. Newsom has let that whole freaking state just go to shit, or Schiff, and maybe in this particular case. And, you know, when you're incentivized to just commit crime with no accountability or repercussion, it's just going to flourish. So, you know, while Newsom maybe wants to make his 2028 bid, or if he's going to step in for old Walker Joe at some point, because I'm still not convinced that we're going to go all the way to November with Joe Biden. I'm just not. Some of the theories are that it's coming in May with the switch. Who the heck knows? But regardless, this should just be an indicator. You got missing kids. You got druggies on the street. You got litter everywhere. You got unaffordable prices. You got insurance companies fleeing California. I mean, home insurance, car insurance. It's endless there. And it's a shame, because when you really think about California, it should be a state that flourishes, and yet it's far from it. And San Diego, I think, is the worst sector when it comes to illegal border crossings. So if you're living there, I would get out. Speaking of threats, this comes out of Fox News. The United States faces an increasingly fragile global order that's strained by competition from adversarial world powers and foreign humanitarian disasters fueling migration, a U.S. spy report says. I guess the spy was actually on their game instead of working with banks. The intelligence community released its annual threat assessment report that focuses on the most direct and serious threats facing the country over the next year. Not surprisingly, an ambitious but anxious China and a confrontational Russia are the biggest threats. And overseas conflicts orchestrated by terrorist groups have far-reaching effects. The report mentioned the October 7th invasion of Israel, which has sparked months of protests and hostilities throughout the U.S. So here you have, and I'm not going to get too much into the report. We all really know that China, Russia, Iran, you can even throw, if you want to get into South America, Venezuela is a continuous threat because they're just emptying their prisons and sending them all up to us. We got some really big threats, and yet we can't even get California or our president to get their crap together. Now, if we're going to hone in on a threat here, such as Iran, you would think, as a nation, we would collectively get our act together and say, hey, these guys actively wish death to America. I mean, more chance I hear about that, the more I'm just like, where the heck is our togetherness in this? You would think we would say, let's protest against them. No, we continue at a very exasperated rate here to protest for them and against Israel. Now, look, there's always going to be debate regarding Israel in terms of, you know, are they our greatest ally? Do we do too much for them? Are we maybe just way too focused on our foreign meddling instead of focusing on what we can do here for us? But our universities are so far attached from that, they have become the hotbeds of, why don't we fight for the enemy? And there's no doubt in my mind, the Israel thing could be debated from kingdom come to whatever, but Iran is not our friend. They have never been our friend. They make it very clear to us they are not our friend. And the fact that our educational institutions continue to just advocate for them is actually absurd. So to end the show here, our very large last segment here is going to be about basically the continuance of how absurd it's become. And it's not just students anymore, it's teachers. So Ryan's going to play our first video here. This is now, and I'm just going to start bullet pointing them, because if you think it was just contained to Columbia and Yale, it's again, it's metastasizing. We got George Washington University Law School. Here are faculty members, not the students, faculty members, joining together in solidarity with the protest of pro-Palestine, and I'm just going to wrap it in here, pro-Hamas now. Yeah, so if you're watching that, all faculty hand in hand together protesting, a lot of them wearing masks. Like, did COVID come back or something? Or are we back to that? Now let's go to the chair of Emory University Philosophy Department, a teacher from there, Noelle McCaffey. She was just arrested, and here's her message for the camera.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do for you right now?
Can you call the philosophy department office and tell them I've been arrested?
Fill out philosophy department?
Yes. Call the philosophy department office.
I will. What's your...
I'm Noelle McAfee. I'm chair of the philosophy department.
I got you.
So she was arrested, you know, for participating. Now we got another teacher here who was arrested at a protest. Ryan's going to play this clip. And she's the one who actually has the messaging. My bad. This one likes to call the cops fascist pigs as she's getting arrested. Yep, fascist pigs. They even called the cops Hitler, which, you know, really, we're gonna start with that. It's just funny to me because if this was Hamas, they wouldn't even be bothering with the handcuffs. They would just get the machete and go for the hands. So we have that one.
You know what I love, though?
Yeah, added right.
I love how they all scream, "I'm a professor," when they're getting arrested. Like, they're immune.
Like, yeah, as if it's like some...
You can't touch me because I'm a professor.
Yeah, as if it's some immunity thing. You're so right, Ryan. It's like it's supposed to be like some like catch call of like, oh no, I'm a professor. How dare you? No, you're disturbing the campus and safety and calling for the endurance and thriving of a terrorist organization. And let's not forget these teachers. I'm glad Ryan brought this up. They're not saints, because let's look at one from Columbia University. So we have a video here of Kamani James. Their pronouns are he, she, they, so they don't even know what they are. Basically, I'm just going to say it, calling for murder. Murder of Jews, murder of Zionists, or whatever. But basically, this is not any kind of peaceful professor by any means. So Ryan's going to play this quick 20-second clip here for you of Kazani James.
And so, be glad, be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists. I've never murdered anyone in my life, and I hope to keep it that way. I genuinely hope to keep it that way.
Yeah, they sound normal. Seriously, who are we giving teaching degrees to? So, like, you know what? Congrats, Kazami James. It worked. I actually don't know if you're a guy or a girl. Right, could you tell if it's a...
No idea.
I could not tell. So you won. There you go. But look, it's getting bad. It's getting bad. I mean, we have a video here from Northwestern University. Ryan's going to just play a few seconds of it. And these are the protesters fighting against the cops. And then we got Emerson College out of Boston. And again, just a lot of protesters going against the cops. It's just, it's unrelenting. Here's the clip. And we'll take it back to Emory just because this one is freaking crazy. This might be the most representative of it all if you're watching. You got your protesters. They're all wearing their little scarves and all that. And you'll see some blue-haired people, some pink-haired people, just your classics. And they're pushing this these protest signs up against the cops who are trying to protect, the campus hall there. And, I mean, again, the cops are to their back to the wall. I feel for them here. So Ryan's going to play that clip. So look, just as a reminder, right, because you might be asking yourself, who in the world, you know, if these are all broke college students, who is funding getting Hamas flags? It's not something you go buy at a Walmart. Who is funding all the tents? Who's funding all this organization? And we said it yesterday, but we're just going to hit it as a reminder. It is, of course, Mr. George Soros and those that are basically under his wing. George Soros and Wall Street moguls are reportedly funding pro-Palestine protests across major U.S. universities. These movements, expanding nationwide, are spearheaded by the Soros-funded Students for Justice in Palestine. Since 2017, Soros' Open Society Foundations have allegedly funneled at least $300,000 to these protests. The protests feature significant coordination and support, with participants receiving stipends for organizing activities. And there's a little map here that just shows all the different campuses. We don't need to throw it up because we already played so many videos that just kind of show the coordination level of how this is happening. And look, these are the same groups, if you really want to follow the money, that helped fund the BLM protests from when George Floyd's death and all that was happening. So, you know, these are not just because they really care about the people of Palestine. It is more so, how do we just cause a ruckus? And truthfully, the fact that the cops have to waste their time to quell these protests instead of being out and actually stopping real crime, it just sucks. So I have, and it's a double-edged situation because I have two videos I want to end on. And when I say double-edged sword, here's the reason why. I can only feel so bad for these students because there is a half or an amount here where they're just not the most critical thinking kind of students around. Here's a video of college students being interviewed asking why they believe white people are more advantaged than them. It's an old video, but it just kind of pinpoints that they just have no basis for their arguments and they're not critical thinkers. So here's that video.
Lord help us.
We don't have the same privileges that are offered to straight white men.
And I've been hearing that from a lot of the ladies that I've been talking to today. Talk to me about what some of those privileges are that, you know, straight white men have that you don't have. Talk to me about that.
I don't really know. Have you ever experienced like a specific instance?
But I also need to go.
I know. I do need to go. I'm sorry.
Talk to me about some of the privileges that white men are awarded that you guys are not awarded.
Definitely, like, I guess just getting away with situations. Like, if I were to, like...
This is just sad, know, like, man.
I guess... There you go. I have to think about it.
And this is what brainwashing is.
I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across.
Yeah, so you have those college students who can't really name why white people are more privileged or advantaged to them. They just, situations. So I can only feel so bad. Well, look, then there's the other half of the double-edged sword. And we're going to end with this video before we close out. There are college students, because I was one at one point, who initially go into college because they know or they feel they know that this is going to help further their education. It's supposed to be their jumpstart to finding a career. We ran that poll the other day about what, we ran a poll on the news app asking what would your advice be to high school graduates. Most said go to trade school at this point. But then there was a good majority that said, go to a STEM school, which is science, technology, engineering, mathematics, because there really are people who go not to go get a gender degree or critical race theory degree. They're going because they are sold on the belief that this is going to be the institution that helps jumpstart the rest of their life. And what happens? They get riddled with liberal, crazy woke mind policies, crazy tuition prices and student loans and having to pay them back. And they just can't catch a win, such as the girl whose video I'm going to play here. She's just a USC student. And it's about 2.5 minutes. And she talks like a college student. But I think it's important to watch because she goes into detail how she lost her high school graduation to the COVID lockdown. And now she's losing her college graduation to these protests. Think about that. You go to school, you get all those accomplishments, you think it's going to be at least worth something. All right, time for a ceremony to celebrate it. Nope, you got a pandemic that just shuts everything down. And now you got these bogus head, I'm going to cheer for Hamas and all their like, and cause it to be that the college can't even have a functioning graduation. So I'm going to have Ryan play that clip before we close out the show.
So USC just canceled our graduation. I have no words. Like, this is so, like, it's actually comical at this point. If you don't know, the seniors that are graduating college right now are the seniors that graduated in 2020, where we didn't have a high school graduation. And a lot of us had like drive-through fake graduations or no graduation at all. And now we are seniors about to graduate, getting ready for our first real graduation, and it just got canceled. I just can't even, I'm in shock right now. We, as a whole senior class, have never had a real graduation because of COVID first, which we thought was like a one-time thing. Like, we're the class that got screwed over. It is what it is, unlucky. Now, USC just canceled it. And of course, USC, we've all worked so hard to get here. USC, I'm sure you know, is not an easy school to get into. And so everyone that goes here is very accomplished, like had worked really hard to get in, and now they just canceled our freaking graduation. Like, what now? What now? They sent out an email 10 minutes ago about how they know it's disappointing, but they're canceling it, and they're going to have other fun events, which I don't even know what that means. Like, I understand that, like, a lot has been going on at USC right now with, like, protests and everything. I just feel like there could have been a different way to go about this than to cancel the entire graduation for a class that never even got a high school graduation either. Here's the part of the email right there that says, as a result, we will not be able to host the main stage ceremony that traditionally brings 65,000 students, families, and friends to our campus at the same time and during a short window from 8:30 to 10 a.m. We understand this is disappointing. Bullshit. Like, come on. If you would have told me 10 years ago that I would graduate high school and not have a graduation, get into USC, go all 4 years at USC and not have a graduation, I would have been like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense. But it happens. And now this is all of our seniors' lives. So this sucks. I mean, this sucks. I just had my last class ever. And right after I should be celebrating, just got the news that we have no graduation. So now all my roommates are depressed. And we all literally were just sitting in the living room, like, in tears, but not much we can do about it. So we're going to make the most of it, but ridiculous.
Well, that's it for today. Thanks for tuning in for just me and Ryan here. And like I said, DML CBD gummies, they are under BOGO status right now. So you're going to want to jump on that. Ryan's Cafe coming this weekend. And as for the DML Wine and Talk, we're just going to stay tuned, but hopefully we'll have an update for you guys soon on that. Just with all that's really going on, God bless all of you guys. God bless this country and the troops. And for today's Team DML blessing, I would like to give it to James Brockway. Have a great day, everybody.
Get the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast every day by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for breaking news, merchandise, films, exclusive content, and Team DML.